The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And we are back, 8 a.m. Central Time, Wednesday, April 26th, 2023. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We were talking about the Second Amendment issues right now. Jay Inslee in Washington has signed a bill into law that basically bans the sale of AR-15s and other semi-automatic rifles. And, of course, the lawsuits are going to start. Second Amendment Foundation immediately filed a lawsuit against the ban. Breitbart News is reporting that the text of the ban claims assault weapons are not firearms used for self-defense. And that's baloney. And you know what's really interesting? Proponents of gun control routinely call for assault weapons to be banned, most notably and most frequently, you know who, in the White House. Hair sniffer. So when Steve Dettelbach, who hair sniffer nominated to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and we're talking about the jackbooted fascists over at the BATF now. This is what Linda Thompson, the attorney from Indianapolis, and everybody else that have done stuff on Waco, refers to them as, was asked to define what exactly an assault weapon is. You'd think his response would at least be informed. No. Instead, he said, well, I have people on my staff that could identify what those are. He couldn't identify, yet he's the head of the BATF and he can't identify what an assault weapon is. My God. You see, here's the thing. If you look at the definition of the word assault, does the average American who wants to be left alone to his own peaceful devices, is he likely to go out and commit assault? No. But should he say something that the government doesn't like, and they the cattle cars of BATF agents like Waco and the SUVs that rolled up on these J6 defendants that Stephen Friend was talking about, they pull out their guns, and then the definition of assault kicks in because they want to come in heavy. That's when assault occurs. Now, you take that and you wonder why we haven't seen the manifest from the Nashville Metropolitan Police Departments. They've already basically put in a Freedom of Information Act request to Nashville PD wanting a copy of that manifesto. They won't give it up. They will have to sue to get that manifesto if they want it. Apparently, there's stuff in there that's like, they're dangerous. They're dangerous. They can't read this stuff. You see, something is going on here that might trigger other transgenders to go out and do the same thing. Maybe that's why they're doing it. You know, God forbid that we have people with so much hate in this world that they got to go out and do what they did. And they will continue to do copycat, which is what I told the morning guy at KLBJ when I was working there. I said, you know, you got to stop glamorizing this thing that happened up in Jonesboro, Arkansas, with them pulling a fire alarm and shooting people as they ran out of the school. A couple of kids. I said, you got to stop glamorizing this, man. It's going to cause copycats. Oh, Krieger, you're full of caca. And he used the S word, right? And then we had Columbine, not shortly thereafter. And I didn't even have to say the I told you so speech. I should have. Do you know why? Because the morning news guy went ballistic with it on the air and glamorized it again and kept glamorizing it and kept glamorizing it. And then they put little pictures of me at my desk, you know, and Polaroids they took, and I'm sitting there working away at my news desk, and then they post it on the board, and they write a little inscription there with a thing about, oh, got to watch out for those black helicopters. You see, that's the kind of crap I had to put up with at KLBJ. Now, I liked Lady Bird and Lucy Baines, but these guys, man, you talk about toeing the line. They read every bit of pablum that AP and everybody else puts out. They're no better than anybody at mainstream media. Sorry, guys. I'm giving you a bad review. And then you sold to Sinclair. Yeah, that's even worse because now you got corporatism running radio. See, that's why you can't trust a lot of what's going on out here, because you don't know where the news sources are coming from. You try to find the most legitimate news sources you can. But see, now you've got somebody that heads up the ATF that doesn't know what an assault weapon is. but he can bring people in that know, that can define it. No, assault weapon is when you confront someone with the intent to commit bodily harm, unprovoked. In other words, you may show up, you may have a warrant, but the warrant, like in Waco, Davey Aguilera. I remember this name forever today because I've been studying this stuff, because I always say, how many Wacos and Ruby Ridges is going to take for people to wake up? And you want to talk about assault? They could have taken David Koresh, Vernon Howell, whatever you want to call him. They could have taken him in a grocery store. They could have taken him when he was out jogging. No, they had to come in heavy. That is the definition of an assault. And of course, the question is, who opened fire first? You know, we're hearing both sides of the story. We're hearing that Koresh took a bullet in the side when he answered the door, and they opened fire on him. They, meaning the BATF agents. And that's when the shooting started. And see, the bigger problem is that the Branch Davidians, who were very well armed, stopped shooting instead of fighting and carrying on a retaliation to the assault by BATF. They quit shooting. Their mistake was not running every damn last one of those people who had assault weapons in their possession off their property. But hey, the McLennan County Sheriff, hang that guy. Don't you think? He let them come and trespass all over their property. Wonder how they threatened them when they came in there. And then everybody that was involved in Waco got promoted. And Janet Reno, who no longer is with us and can't answer to anything, said, the buck stops with me. What a joke. And a lot of this, you know, Ruby Ridge and Waco happened during the Clinton administration. So what do you think they got in mind for you? You know, you keep electing Democrats and this is what you get, right? But see, the thing is, the Republicans have another agenda on the far right-hand side of this equation. Democrats have control over here on the left side. Republicans have control over here on the right side. They can't just stay in the middle and respect the Constitution. No, we gotta ban assault weapons. We call them assault weapons because people have used it for things nefarious. And very few of them. They obviously weren't educated. They need to be educated to what these weapons are to be used for, which is the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms for the purpose of self-defense. And if they're not educated and they get mad and they're on drugs and they're emotionally unstable, well, you get what you get. It happens when society starts to implode, and the left is just as responsible for this garbage because of what they promote in equity and all this other, and diversity. And if you make fun, then you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're everything. And here's a problem. You know, when you start getting these leftists all upset, some of them take matters into their own hands. And it's not vigilantism either. You don't go just shoot up a Christian school just because you're mad. You know, if you've got emotional problems, it's the parents again. We had no idea she had all those guns. Yeah. And you got to wonder why they don't want that manifesto from Nashville getting out. Because, see, if that went public, then every single transgender out there with a heart on that's got an axe to grind is going to go shoot up a school. That's why they don't want it getting out. But the media's got to have it. We want the truth. We want to know what she was thinking when she went in there and shot up this school. We want to know. Yeah, I know. What color were her shoes? Yeah, you can ask all the questions you want. And then the Sandy Hook folks will come out and they'll say, oh, yeah, never happened. No. No, it happened. Nashville PD, I mean, obviously there's a shooter's manifesto and this thing could turn into a lawsuit because they're going to try to get that public records request out of the Tennessee Police Department in Nashville. They're going to try to get it out of them. In Nebraska, Governor Jim Pillen signed LB 77 yesterday, making Nebraska the 27th constitutional carry state in the union. On April 19th, Breitbart reported the permitless carry legislation had passed the legislature and was headed to his desk. He indeed signed it. Thank you, Governor, for that. You upheld the Constitution. The thing is, it's a natural right. Why do we have to have legislation for something that's a natural right is guaranteed by our forefathers who fought and died? Got to understand that. Are we willing to do the same thing? Oh, no, we got a cower in our house. Yeah. What was that old saying? Keep your powder dry. Yeah, you got to love that. Do you remember we had Alan Parker on the show? He was talking. He's the one that actually was the attorney for Jane Roe in Roe v. Wade. Well, we have just learned that an infant was surrendered to a safe haven baby box at an Indiana fire station just 4 months after the box was installed, Life News reported on Monday. The surrender occurred in Bloomington, Indiana. It was the fourth in the state this year, according to local media reports. Monroe Fire Protection District Station Chief Jason Allen said a silent alarm alerted the firefighters April 8th that a baby had been placed inside the specially designed box, and they were able to retrieve the baby in under a minute. Well, understand something. The timer, when you open that box and you put the baby in and shut it, the timer starts ticking, giving the person who put the baby there time to get away. No questions asked. The baby was turned over to Child Protective Services. Obviously, I know. Oh, my God, it's in the system. They're going to try to adopt it out to a family that's looking for a kid, okay? Somebody did the right thing. Alan reported that. He said, look, we have safe haven stations available for people who want to do that. Some people actually took matters into their own hands and did the right thing. They had the baby and turned it over to authorities because they could provide a better home for it. More care than the mother could. So somebody did the right thing, did the responsible thing. And it's legal. Even though the mRNA COVID jabs are the most dangerous medical products ever to hit the market, vaccine makers and U.S. health agencies are steamrolling right ahead with a long list of mRNA-based shots, including combination shots to cover multiple viral infections. If the COVID shots are the most dangerous injections we've ever seen, what makes them think mRNA shots for cancer, heart disease, influenza, respiratory syncytial virus, HIV, or any other condition will be any safer? Moderna is planning on offering a personalized cancer shot by the end of 2028. And no, you don't get a free set of Ginsu steak knives. The U.S. FDA already designated it as a breakthrough therapy. Remember that crap they put out about emergency use authorization? You watch. Because Pfizer and Moderna both launched mRNA flu jab trials in the fall of 2022. Yeah, and I bet you won't hear a thing about the results of those. Right? I'm asking a question. You didn't hear about the ones they did for COVID, right? You didn't hear about that. They falsified a lot of them, according to whistleblowers. Do you know what to believe? Ye shall know them by their fruits, folks. Moderna is developing mRNA shots for shingles and genital herpes. Oh, my goodness. They're based on the same platform used for the COVID jab. It's a technology that doesn't stop infection and can depress your immune function so that you become more prone to infections and chronic diseases of all kinds. This is what they want. They want you to take the jab so you die. It's an effort to depopulate, according to many doctors who've been on the show, including Dr. Andrew Huff, who we've had on here. Very controversial interview. And he worked under Peter Daszak at the EquiHealth Alliance, which shipped the stuff from Ralph Barrick's lab in North Carolina at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to Wuhan with $3.28 million of your money. And then they developed it, turned it into a weapon, intentionally leaked it from a lab, according to its own whistleblowers, and then infected our country. Now, whether they lied to Trump or not, don't know. We'll never know, I don't think. All I know is 2024 is going to be a real shift show come November. Everybody's got a solution to your problem, right? If you believe everything you hear, I feel sorry for you. God gave you a sound mind to rationalize what's going on. Do you know that up to 70 million Americans, and we got, what, 333 million in this country right now? Do you know that up to 70 million Americans, according to the latest studies, have a sleep disorder, the most common of which is insomnia? 10% of American adults struggle with chronic insomnia, and 30% report occasional or short-term insomnia. Research finds you can remain consciously aware even while your brain and body are sleeping. Insomniacs who report being awake even when their brainwave patterns indicate they're sleeping have increased activity in brain areas associated with conscious awareness during the dreamless phase of sleep. Wow. And we're talking about, you know, as far as what sleeping pills can do, you can forget that noise. You know, I mean, they got melatonin. We got herbal Z's. Valerian, chamomile tea, CBD oil. We got all sorts of stuff to try to help that are more natural than going out and taking drugs, heavy drugs. God put pot on this earth for a reason. Yep. And not only are there numerous health benefits of rose hips, but they can also give your beauty routine a serious boost as well. They're rich in vitamins and antioxidants, believe it or not. Super source of vitamin C, vitamin A. They improve skin health because of the high vitamin C content of rose hips. They may support weight loss as well and stimulate your immune system. They contain high anti-inflammatory compounds. So maybe those of you who are aching that have various ailments that are causing your joints to become inflamed, including arthritis symptoms, maybe you should make some rose hip tea. You can use rose hip powder or minced rose hips and steep as you would for any other tea. You can pair it with hibiscus for additional flavor and even deeper color. Or combine rose hips with marshmallow root to maximize its soothing qualities. Marshmallow root. I like to take marshmallow capsules because it helps clean the lungs out. Helps break up mucus in the lungs. Did you know? And see, melatonin doses are often higher than reported on the label, believe it or not. U.S. health officials reported a 500% spike in the number of poison center calls involving kids eating melatonin gummies last year. Looks like candy. Ooh, Mom, Skittles. Harvard researchers decided to take a closer look at the sleep supplements and discovered a disturbing fact. They contained up to 347% more melatonin than the label stated. Ooh, that's why we have Herbal Z's, folks. That's why we have it. If you're having trouble sleeping, you need to call the Power Mall, which is open right now, and order Herbal Z's. Look, all you can do is try them, right? It's designed to give you restful REM sleep without the M effect. That's the melatonin alternative. They come in a capsule, okay? Herbal Z's. Z means you can sleep better, right? Under the economy and business section, Breitbart is reporting the housing market recession is over. You get the raspberry this morning. This is what they're saying. The S&P Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Home Price Index rose in February. Yeah. Wall Street economists who have not yet caught on to the turn in the housing market were predicting a decline of 0.3%. The month-over-month increase in the seasonally adjusted national index was at 0.16, the first gain in 7 months. The trend toward an improved market actually began at least a month earlier. But you see, the surveys are all in the past, and now they're finally coming to light. That the housing market recession is over. So they say housing prices are rising again. But you see, here's the thing. If the Fed is going to go out and they're going to continue to raise interest rates, they're going to stifle housing construction. They're going to stifle people being able to borrow money at a decent interest rate Well, this nonsense is going on, and the Fed keeps doing this, and so sales of homes are going to start to slow down, forcing home prices to be lowered. They're going to lower home prices just to be able to sell their house. You're going to see foreclosures on the increase because people went out and got these adjustable rate mortgage loans still, or they lose their job or have a medical emergency, or they got to retire and get away from their current living situation, or they want to scale down and they're having a hard time selling it without dropping the price and dropping the price and dropping the price until somebody finally comes along and says, okay, I'll pay that for it. The price of a house is not just what the seller will sell it for. It's what the buyer will buy it for that matters, because the buyer has the wherewithal to either A, produce cash, or B, have credit worthiness enough to get a loan. But of course, now with the Biden administration, what they're doing is they're going to make it very easy for people who are poor that have crappy credit ratings to go out and get loans, while penalizing those who have good credit by jacking up the interest rates they charge. Now, is that fair? There's your term. There's your liberal term. Fair. I think that it's discriminatory. What do you think? British American Tobacco is going to pay $635.2 million in North Korean sanctions. The case represents the single largest North Korea sanctions penalty in U.S. Department of Justice history. British American Tobacco agreed to pay more than $635 million to U.S. authorities after a subsidiary pleaded guilty to charges that conspired to violate American sanctions by selling tobacco products to North Korea and commit bank fraud, according to a U.S. court filing. And guess what? When Bud Light came out and did what they did, having Dylan Mulvaney, a biological male who dresses up in drag, claiming to be a transgendered woman and promoting its products, getting its face put on a beer can. I use the word it because it can't figure out what he is. That's why I used to describe Nancy Pelosi too as it and cousin it. Bud Light's competitors, Coors Light and Miller Light, saw an 18% spike in their sales following Anheuser-Busch's big mistake. And another executive, Daniel Blake, has also taken a leave of absence. He's on their marketing team at Anheuser-Busch for Bud Light. Yeah, all of a sudden, they're dropping like flies now, right? Currency exchange kiosks using facial recognition software developed by Innovative Technology Limited to comply with daily transaction limits have now rolled out to airports and travel hubs around Europe. So remember, when you're out there, yeah, they have a device for face biometrics. They know where you are. Who's they? Well, the authorities, the banking industry, of course. A Japanese company lost contact with its spacecraft moments before it was due to touch down on the moon, and so, therefore, it's conceded the mission had apparently failed. Yep, the uncrewed Hakuto, our Mission 1 lander. That's what the name of it was. They lost contact with it 25 minutes after it was scheduled to have touched down on the moon's surface, so they didn't know what happened. We've got some creepy video again from the Weird Department. We have a video on there of a Tesla radar picking up dead bodies moving in a cemetery. Now, I don't know how that is. We put a hint in there. It's driving through a cemetery picking up the jabbed in their graves. See, because that graphene oxide, even if the spike proteins can't exist because their host is dead and they can't replicate, those little metal components inside, yeah, floating around in there, they haven't left. They're still there, and apparently Tesla, its vehicle radar, is picking up the dead bodies. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to watch the video to find out. I'm sure that's got you going, doesn't it? Republican lawmakers are raising questions over a $200 million Park Service grant to Pelosi's district. Yeah, isn't that amazing? National Park Service Director Chuck Sams told Congress that Biden's Interior Department ordered him to transfer $200 million in federal funding to a park in Pelosi's district, drawing increased scrutiny by House Republicans. Yeah, it is the Presidio, a 1,500-acre former military installation used as a public recreation area in Pelosi's district near the Golden Gate Bridge. Huh. former military installation. Why would they transfer $200 million there? Huh. Why would they do that if it's a park? It's a former military installation. Can you read between the lines? $200 million could take a park and do an awful lot of things to that. Yeah, you know where I'm going with that, right? That is not a conspiracy theory, folks. That is just an out and out. What can you do with $200 million and 1,500 acres? That was a former military installation. What can you do with that? Do we have that figured out yet? We also, under gardening, farming, and homesteading, because you really need to know this, we have a beginner's guide to some heirloom seeds, how to put them in the ground. I know this is really frustrating because some of you are just, you don't have a green thumb. That's why Marjorie Wildcraft is there. And that's why we still have some White Harvest seeds, the seed packs available at the Power Mall. You need to get these. They're 100% heirlooms with superior flavor, unique and diverse for your garden and your taste buds. They're open pollinated, true to type and capable of producing their own seed supply year after year after year, which means you don't have to go out and buy anymore. Once you buy these, you can keep replanting them. And all the seeds have surpassed requirements to ensure germination that meets your standards and ours. And not only that, but money-back guarantee if they don't work. They will work. I have them. 15 fun and unusual heirloom seed varieties. Well, let's see what we got here. They're indeterminate, which means the plant keeps growing and bearing until the frost kills it. Many grow quite large. It may grow quite large. We're talking about Cherokee chocolate tomatoes. Bears 10 to 16 ounce. Wow, that's almost a pound. Crimson red fruits with mahogany shoulders, lots of juice and a sweet, rich, complex flavor. Golden Jubilee. Sweet-tasting, low-acid, indeterminate tomato. Matures in 80 days. Round 8-ounce fruits ripen rich yellow gold. Pink Brandywine. 1-pound pinkish-red pumpkin-shaped fruits. Very meaty, classic tomato taste. Sometimes ripens late. It's susceptible to cat-facing and early blight, so you got to be careful with those. Gerard Dale pumpkins. Heirlooms from Australia and New Zealand, depending on whom you believe. Distinctive looking with their gray-blue color and heavy ribs. Their flavor is mild, taste is sweet, flesh is stringless, tasty, taking the misery out of making fresh pumpkin pie. Benning's Green Tint Patty Pan Squash. Lincoln English Heirloom Peas. Rattlesnake Pole Beans, called Preacher Beans in parts of the South. Russian Red Kale. Red Russian Kale, let's say that right. French Luce Trout Lettuce. Cioglia Italian Beets. Cioglia. Yeah, Cioglia. That's it. French breakfast radishes, Elisa Craig onions, Blue de Soleil's leeks, Rosa Bianca eggplant, and King of the North sweet bell pepper. Wow. Amazing how that works. Now, after the break, you're going to hear Joel Skousen. I suggest you stay, keep your radio glued. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy this interview.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
And it's 32 minutes after the hour. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Welcome back to this segment. I am very pleased and blessed to have this gentleman on the phone with me. I promised you for quite some time now that I was going to get Joel Skousen on the phone. He has written this book, for those of you that can actually see the video when we upload it to Rumble and Brighteon, and it's called Strategic Relocation. I have read this thing virtually from cover to cover. And Joel Skousen, I'm so glad to have you on the show because you are a follower of politics and geopolitical events and things like this. And I just, man, I'm really blessed to have you here. I'm curious, going into this book, it talks all about things that are pretty prevalent today, like the fact that we're inching closer toward what looks like nuclear war. And if it's not nuclear war, it could be an electromagnetic pulse attack, could be a cyber attack where they literally try to take down America. The EMP Commission has already said 9 out of 10 people would be dead within a year if they did this. I think it would be less time than that, because without electricity, I mean, we depend on it. If we don't, then things just go crazy. What is your take, I guess I could say, overall, right now in today's political climate as it compares to the way you wrote this book when you put out the third edition?
Well, this is the fourth edition you're holding up, I think. I hope you have the fourth.
No, I have the third. This is the third edition. Wow, there's a fourth. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm behind.
I put out a fourth edition when the COVID pandemic came about to warn people about which states and which areas were forcing vaccines on people, et cetera. And even since then, people have been crying out for a fifth edition because because things keep changing. Unfortunately, they're changing so rapidly now, Dave, that it's hard to keep a physical print book in currency, because it's just everything's changing very rapidly. And so I have encouraged readers of the book to subscribe to my weekly World Affairs Brief, which is at worldaffairsbrief.com, where every Friday I update people on what's going on in the wild world of mRNA vaccines and the policies about forcing that upon people, as well as the woke policies that are encouraging us to be not only just tolerant of transgenderism and homosexuality, but to actually celebrate it. You know, in other words, if you don't celebrate, you're guilty of violence against their rights, so to speak, to practice their form of gender dystopia. But I am concerned that the major threats still exist out there. Russia and China are building for a major nuclear attack on the West. It will not happen with the Ukraine war. That Putin is bluffing there, because, you see, if he can't even occupy eastern Ukraine, he can't occupy the entire West if he were to nuke it. In other words, it doesn't do any good to nuke something if you can't occupy and make good on your threats and take over and control the world. And both China and Russia do intend to control their own version of the New World Order. Conservatives are dead wrong when they think that Russia is going to save us from our own globalist New World Order. They're trying to take down the global New World Order so they can replace it with their own, which would be far more tyrannical. I'm not in favor, of course, of our own globalists, but at least they don't do the type of concentration camps and other things yet, at least that the Russians and the Chinese have been doing. But you see, Russia has to wait for China to be ready, because China does have the physical manpower and the physical quantity of tanks, ships, and missiles and other things to control the world after a world war. And so it's not going to be imminent, but it is coming. And in fact, when you say, will it be a nuclear war? Will it be EMP? Will it be cyber? It will be all three. They will use EMP. In fact, Russia and China are the only ones that have enough missiles to do an EMP strike, which takes at least 8 or 9 weapons distributed over the American continent to take down the entire grid, not just one. And that includes super EMP weapons. So forget about North Korea doing it or Iran, et cetera. It's going to be Russia and China, and it will precede a nuclear strike on U.S. military forces by about 15, 20 minutes. They want to blind the country prior to that happening. Now, I'm not quite as pessimistic that 90% of people will die within a few days of an EMP strike. It is true that people will start pillaging, but you can pillage this society for many, many months and still not run out of all the stockpiles that are around and people, and that's what will happen. It will be kind of a Mad Max scenario. Eventually, a lot of people will starve, because I think an EMP strike will cause the grid to be down for at least a year. The reason I say that is we don't stockpile any of the long-distance transformers that will all be blown out in an EMP strike. They're all made in China, and China's not going to be supplying that in a war.
No, they certainly aren't. Yeah, so, all right. So now that I understand this, and this is the thing, my understanding, and you said multiple targets, with an EMP strike, there were 9 locations, from what I recollect you saying, 9 particular locations within the grid that could take down the entire grid in right. around the United States strategically. And they just flew a balloon overhead and tried to ballyhoo us into believing it was no big deal and then shot it down over the Atlantic so they could cover up literally what's going on. We definitely don't have a government, Joel, that is transparent. And so we basically now have to rely on ourselves. And whether it's the 3rd edition, the 4th edition, or them begging for a 5th edition, a lot of our listeners are elderly. A lot of our listeners are on fixed incomes. There are new listeners coming into the fold that have, you know, they haven't, like me, they haven't taken the jab. They haven't even taken a swab. We're taking ivermectin to offset any of the shedding that is going on. We're trying to avoid hanging out with people that we know have been vaccinated with this bioweapon. This is what we know that has happened. And I mean, I've been all over this thing ever since it started. I never connected with you. Had I done this a long time ago for my radio show in Florida, I'd be that much further ahead. And I'd already be a subscriber to worldaffairsbrief.com, which I intend on signing up to as soon as we get off this show. So out of curiosity, as far as the 3rd edition, the 4th edition and whatnot, strategically, is there a safe place in America that's not already pre-planned on your maps in these books?
No, in fact, everything has gone down. In the 4th edition, I even downgraded the only 2 5-star states, Utah and Idaho, to 4-star states, because every conservative state in the union, including Oklahoma, Missouri, Florida, et cetera, has, except for Florida. Florida has not gone down conservative-wise, but every other state has, because they've got rhino Republican governors and rhino Republican legislative heads. The legislators all have majorities. The Republicans have a majority, but the real conservatives are always a minority, even in Utah and Idaho and Oklahoma. And so your mainstream Republican leaders keep and tamp down on getting real change happening in these states. You can't believe maybe you can, how much dedicated money and time the establishment has in focusing efforts to undermine conservatives in these conservative states. you have these global organizations and they're trying to get land use planning into Oklahoma and Utah and Idaho. You get them trying to change the caucus voting system so that you can't vote out Rhino Republicans as they easily do in a caucus, that you go to a primary system where the people are subject to mainstream media propaganda, promoting mainstream Republicans as really conservative when they aren't. This is happening all the time. And so every state is getting worse. The only thing that I project in the future is that the only thing that will save conservatives is in being in conservative states where conservatives are at least a 70% majority. In other words, you got to be a heavy majority to withstand the compromise that even the Republican legislatures will. So the only exception to that right now is Florida. Because Florida doesn't have a 70% conservative majority, pretty near that, but not quite. But they've got a conservative governor who is really pushing the agenda. Now, how much this is political opportunism, you know, being a Yalie and from Harvard, I'm not so sure. I'm not completely sold that this is a real principle. But he certainly is doing the right thing now, unlike Trump, who had the right things to say, but very rarely got it past his globalist advisors. So Ron DeSantis is an anomaly. Now, I don't recommend people make strategic relocation decisions based upon temporary political leadership, because Florida heretofore has always been a swing state, just barely 50% Democrat, Republican, and a lot of manipulation going on. And it's gotten improved now. But, Florida is a peninsula. Florida is a state completely dependent on air conditioning. If you're in an EMP strike, there are going to be a lot of people exiting Florida because of the unbearable heat and the other things that happen there without electricity. And there are only two exit ways. That's why Florida is a zero-rated state. But now California, Oregon, and Washington are zero-rated state because they're on the left wing of the U.S. coast and are just dedicated to destroying their citizens and their country. I mean, San Francisco is a dying city. L.A. is a dying city. The homeless camps are all over the place. People don't even go downtown anymore.
Well, businesses are leaving.
And businesses are leaving. San Francisco, all the elite bars and, the coffee bars and the other things are nearly empty all day long because everybody working from home and don't dare go down into the financial district because of the lack of safety. Your woke prosecutors that are letting people off the crime. Walmart's pulling out of big cities, yep, because of the shoplifting rate is so high. And then you have the smash and grab in Portland, Oregon, where you just break the windows and steal everything. How does businesses survive that? They don't. These are dying cities. And so strategic relocation, major premise is that population density is your biggest enemy. Even
so
if you
stay out of the big cities, in other words.
But people have to, because that's where the jobs are. So that's why most conservatives are being outvoted in the United States, is because they're in blue cities where they are the minority. And so if you have to stay in the city, remember, I recommend in the book that you relocate at least into the periphery of the city so that when things melt down, you can get to your retreat areas, get to rural areas without having to go through the population density and the traffic that is in the major cities. So don't underestimate that advice, because remember, when this EMP strike and nuclear war comes, the cities will completely melt down and you won't have a job anymore. So you have to plan on living without that job and retreating back to where you want to start to reestablish yourself. And that must include relearning skills that will be useful in a rural environment. You need to be able to fix your own things. In rural communities where I live, for example, even though the farmers are generally mainstream, they send their children to public schools, they're good people, and they have skills. They have welders, they have tools, they have tractors, they have rototillers, they have other things that can get yourself into production. Even though most farmers buy their food at the grocery stores now and they don't grow it, they know how to. And they can help, and you can band together as a community to do community gardens and start to build. And you don't have to, and this is a problem. I do consultations regularly with people, and people call up and say, where can I find a preparedness community where I can move in and it's already set up?
That's kind of like wishful thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
You can't do it because, you know, I've consulted for over 40 years, and I'll tell you, I've consulted with a lot of communities to try to do prepper as a formal relationship with people, and they always self-destruct with infighting, even the religious ones, because they don't agree on doctrine, they don't agree, and there's always a few that have more money than the others, and they all end up depending, well, you got money, you can buy a tractor for us, and yeah. It's just a nightmare. So what I recommend is that people go into a rural community that meets your in a conservative state with good water and good growing, good soil, et cetera. And then you just develop informal networks. You get to know your neighbors. You get to know the farmer down the road. And, you know, it's hard to break into some of these older farm societies, you know, if you're a city, but you don't have to brag about your intellectual degrees or what you did in New York City. You just kind of blend in and start to say, look, I'm trying to do gardening. I need some help. Would you kind of advise me on how to plant? What's the freezing level here? And they're willing to help. And then in the crisis hits, they know you and you know them, and you pick the people that you know are reliable. And then you go and say, all right, we've got to work together. But you don't go around sharing how much food storage you have. You don't go around sharing how much fuel storage you have. That's a recipe for every other prepper in your community, say, when they're out, to descend on you. We know what you've got. I hate to be hard-nosed about this, but I'll tell you, if you start sharing, you'll all be starving within 2 weeks. You have to have a philosophy of stockpiling for yourself, being willing to share skills and equipment and other things that's helpful, but you don't tell people what you've stockpiled, because they'll all descend on you if you've got more than they do when they run out.
And then things get nasty because you have the have-nots taking from the haves.
That's
just something that I've always espoused ever since I took over the show in 2021. The bigger problem, the conservative states, we're generally, because you're looking for something where people can actually grow food where there's good soil, you're talking basically about the Midwest, right?
Yes, and the Intermountain West. For example, one of the problems is not just growing good food. You've got to have a place to put it away in secret. You've got to have secret, underground, concealed, high-security storage facilities. And you need it for your own safety. You know, if you're even in a farm and maybe 3 months after the balloon goes up, you know, and there's refugees flowing, they finally get to your farm, okay, you're going to shoot or start shooting 10 to 20 people because they're starving? I don't think so. You know, the Lord isn't going to justify that. But what you can do is make sure that you have all of your valuables underground in a storage facility that's concealed, and you simply go in there and leave your doors open. They come through and they take what they want and they go on. And that's the best way to handle large refugees. Now, if there's a pickup truck of malcontents, you know, and they deserve to die, fine. I don't mind, you know, dispatching.
And I think that's why people have been stocking up on guns and ammunition now, more so than ever.
And you're going to have to worry about gun confiscation. It will happen someday. And that's why you have to have secure places to hide things and to be concealed. So it's not just good growing. It's a criteria. In strategic relocation, you've got to have basement potential. And unfortunately, some of the better states like Tennessee and Kentucky, you got this rock layer 2 to 3 feet under the dirt, and it's very difficult and very expensive to do a basement. Now, you can do it with blasting and other things. In Texas, you've got this caliche hard pan soil underneath there, and you can, with a hydraulic-driven ram on a track hoe, you know, get through that. It's a little more expensive to do it, but in the Intermountain West, for example, Utah and Idaho, everybody has basements because it's sandy soil and they just dig basements. And so that's one of the reasons I put out the book, The High Security Shelter. It's where people can do a high security room within an existing basement and conceal it. That's the cheapest way for most people to get a shelter, is if you've got an existing basement. If you're going to build a basement from scratch, it's best to put it under the garage, because people don't expect there to be a basement under a garage. And then you access it from a basement room next to that garage room in your own basement, concealed. So you have double concealment. You've got a concealed room in front of the safe room. So they have to find both concealed entrances in order to find your shelter. And then you have hardened doors, of course, in it, so make it very difficult to get out. So basements are an integral part of a secure home if you're going to prepare for a disaster like EMP, where you have everybody starving and hunting for food. And unfortunately, sometime during that period, and I think the reason why our own government allows this war to fall, this nuclear strike to fall on our military, they want to talk us into joining a militarized global government. Now, right now, nobody in America or Britain wants to join a global government after Brexit. But, you know, if you nuke the military, our leaders can come out of their bunkers and say, oh, we didn't know this was going to happen. But now that our military has been taken down, we have to join with other Western countries in a militarized global government to protect ourselves. And who's going to say no? Look what happened in 9/11, a fully government operation masquerading as a terrorist event. And it talked everybody up into giving half of their liberties away. Think what would happen if you let a nuclear strike fall on the military. Everyone would just be like Pearl Harbor, even much worse. So I'm telling you, you got to be prepared for that. It's not going to stop the U.S. from taking us into a new world order, but even a global government has to play lip service to democracy. And so if you band together in rural areas where more conservatives will have a majority again, you can at least get conservative government and resist the tenets of a global new world order. And it's my personal feeling, Dave, that we won't ever go back to the Great Reset AI robotic society after this war. I think the war is so destructive. I think the social unrest is so great, the world will not knit back together. You know, to have an AI robotic society, you could have an uninterrupted supply of electricity. They're talking about digital currency, tracking everything, but all that takes is constant internet and constant electricity. And if the grid goes down, that's all gone.
It is.
And that may well be God's way of stopping this idiocy from taking over the world. Now, it won't bring us peace. It won't give us our liberty back. But it won't be an actual, I mean, we'll go back to a third world type existence rather than a 24th century, you know, electronic control system with 5G controlling everything. So there's good and bad for what happens in a war. And as you know, war brings out either the best or the worst in certain people. I think some people will repent and get better and realize we've been deceived in this world by our governments and go back to basic values. But you've got to be in rural areas, safer rural areas, to project those values and to maintain them. And you've got to be surrounded by other good people.
Now, the thing is, on World Affairs Brief, you go into detail on the safe places, or
I talk about the threats now. So it's basically the update on the threats to strategic relocation. The basic principles are all still valid there.
Okay.
And the basic good areas are still basically good areas. But World Affairs Brief updates people on where governments are changing and how they're doing. And last week's World Affairs Brief, which you get in a sample if you request the sample at the website, is called It's a Mad, Mad World. And I talk about the idiocy of the demands for tolerance for transgenderism and reverse discrimination against whites and for homosexuality and things which are manifesting a major decline in judgment in the Western world, which is causing us, the majority, not to resist what's coming. Now, the minority, we're all upright, upset about this, but we really don't have any power anymore because we don't have the majority.
That's sad, but true. And the thing is whether Trump gets reelected or not, or they attempt to steal the election again, or whether he tries to drain the swamp, really is here nor there as far as the attitude, the politicizing, and the divisiveness that was created as a result of the COVID pandemic. Or plandemic, as we like to call it.
There's no way that Trump can drain the swamp. He couldn't even recognize who was deep state and who wasn't deep state. How do you drain the swamp if you can't tell? You have to be a student of conspiracy to know who's part of the deep state and who isn't. I could tell that Christopher Wray was not a good replacement because he was part of the 9/11 cover-up. I could tell that Brett Kavanaugh was not a true conservative because he was part of the Vince Foster cover-up of the Vince Foster murder by the government. And so you have to know your history of conspiracy. And even I couldn't drain the swamp because, you see, you have to get evidence. You can't just have general accusations. You got to wiretap their homes.
Yeah.
And NSA controls, they're part of the deep state. They'd tell you there's no evidence. So how and then the judges at least three-fourths of them are controlled. So we're going to be taken down in terms of our liberty. We've got to survive this. We've got to rely on the blessings of the Lord by inspired preparations and planning in advance. And I realize some people are poor, and they're going to have to depend on other friends and relatives or their younger children and help waken them up to things by listening.
It's going to be a family affair. We are out of time. I'm going to have you back, Joel Skousen. Thank you so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back again with another edition of the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.